Good evening. We'd like to thank y'all for coming out on a cold evening like this. Not too much fishing going on right now, and a nice evening to be out, I guess, running around up here. We got this evening is probably one of our most anticipated programs, I think, or one of the stuff that we hear more about on Ozark Anglers than just about anything, is a talk this evening by one of my best friends, Buster Loving, on Bull Shoals Lake. And what have I known Buster since 91 or 92? And he's lived over in that area most of his adult life, probably, haven't you? And I don't think I've ever fished with anybody that's a more thorough fisherman and knows more about Bull Shoals Lake than Buster Loving. And not only Bull Shoals Lake, he's fished all over the central United States here, won bass tournaments, power fishing, finesse fishing, fishing, any kind of fishing. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Bull Shoals Lake and how he targets walleye, crappie, white bass, and also largemouth. Y'all, make sure you participate in this conversation. If you have anything at all, ask him, and if he doesn't know, I'm sure he'll make it up. I've got a whole pocket full of questions here, and I'd like to introduce y'all to Buster Loving, my real good friend.
Well, thank you. I'm glad everybody could make it out. Like Bill said, I'm going to talk a little bit about Bull Shoals Lake. I concentrate mostly on the upper 10 miles, which is it's more of a river than it is a lake. You get down past Mincy and down around the state line, it looks a whole lot more like Table Rock. The upper end's more of a river. Fish is more like a river. You got the stained water. Usually dealing with some kind of current, which is I like that. It's really unique because you can set the boat in and go fishing. So you set in a beaver, kadok, anywhere on that upper end, and you never really know what you're going to catch. Possibilities include you can catch smallmouth, largemouth, spotted bass, walleye, crappie, yellow perch, even rainbows, and some of the biggest brown trout I've ever caught have been on the very upper end of Bull Shoals. It just offers so much, and it's not pressured like a lot of the other lakes are. The lake's 81 miles long, starts in Forsyth, and it ends down in Bull Shoals, Arkansas. It's got 750 miles of shoreline, and the elevation's 654. The Power Site Dam's the oldest dam on the White River chain. It was finished in 1915, and the lower dam was finished in 1951. I'll kind of start out talking a little bit about walleye. If you've got any questions, just interrupt me if you've got anything you want to ask me. The limit on Bull Shoals for walleye is 18 inches, and you have a four-fish limit. Like I said, I concentrate mostly on the upper 10 miles, which fishes more like a river. Usually, I fish between Kadok and the Power Site Dam, which the more popular name for it is the pothole. There have been several state records caught up at the pothole or near the pothole. The striper, 60 pounds, 9 ounces, was caught up close to the pothole. A real good friend of mine that I used to fish with, and a lot of people won't even consider this a fish, but he caught the state record, and it was a gar, and it was 27 pounds, and he caught it at the pothole. A yellow perch, 1 pound, 11 ounces, it was caught up close to the pothole. And the walleye, a guy named Gary Partlow, caught it many years ago, and I used to know him too. He's passed away. It weighed 21 pounds, 1 ounce, and he was trout fishing when he caught it. He caught it off the shore. The state record largemouth was also taken out of Bull Shoals, but it was caught down close to Theodosia. It was in the Missouri side, but it was down mid-lake, and that was back like in 1961, and it weighed 13 pounds, 14 ounces. So there's been a lot of the state record fish that came out of Bull Shoals. I'll try to give you a few little particulars and tips and stuff I do to catch the walleye. I fish for them mostly in the winter, starting, say, the 1st of December until April. That's my favorite time to fish for them. You can catch them year-round, but that's my favorite time to catch them is in the dead of winter and early spring. Like I usually concentrate on mud flats from Mincy all the way up to Swan Creek. There's a lot of mud flats on that lake. You get on down lake past Mincy, you're not going to find very many. But those fish seem to relate to the mud flats. Tend to think maybe it's because they warm a little faster than the rock. I'm not real sure why, but I always do better on the mud flats. And there's a lot of those mud flats from Kadok up towards Beaver that run out, and the channel, the main river channel, hits right up against those flats. So you can cast a bait out there and be dragging it in 5 foot of water and make one jerk, and you're in 25 foot of water, and that's what they like. Go ahead.
I hate to take you off your thought there, but you talk about 5 foot of water on mud flats. What's the moving the power pool down from 659 to 654 going to do to what you've been fishing here?
Well, you're just going to have to adjust, going to have to back out a little bit. Power pool to me on Bull Shoals doesn't mean much because it's never normal. It's a holding lake. They hold the flood water down there.
I guess I was reversed. They're raising it 5 feet.
They're going to raise it up, but it's usually up anyway.
Right.
I think out of the 25 years I've fished it, I've seen it what I call down, which is low, to where you can actually see cover and stuff that was there when it was a White River. I've seen it 3 times. So the lake's almost always up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the lake's up right now. It's up higher than what it normally is in the winter. A guy just has to adjust a little bit. I'm fishing the same areas right now that I would fish if it was low. It's just a little harder to read. You need a good GPS or a topo map to read, you know, where you're fishing, because a lot of those flats are underwater. You can't see them. My favorite's when it's real low. You can see everything. You know, you can just pull up to spots and start fishing. Now you kind of got to pay attention to what's going on and where you're at. And I still use landmarks, stuff, trees and barns and light poles and stuff. But GPS, you know, you can do that now and find anywhere. A lot of those mud flats I'm talking about, back before they dammed up the lake, were covered with willow trees. Willow trees all along there. And, of course, they're gone now, but the stumps are still there. There's still stumps along those flats. You may go 50 yards down a flat and not have anything, and then all of a sudden there's 7 or 8 stumps. And I've seen them. When the lakes were real low, I could see them. I'd pull in there and I could see. I've got most of them marked. Those walleye love those stumps. That's where they'll hang around. They won't necessarily be down a bank, on a flat bank with nothing there, but if there's 2 or 3 little stumps or pieces of wood there, that's where they're going to usually be. If you look at a topo map on these flats or on your GPS, you're also going to see, and this is the same way if the lake's low, you're going to see there's going to be series of little creeks and inlets along these flats. I mean, just for instance, at Kadok, you can look from Kadok as far as you can see, and that's all flats. It's all the way over those flats. And there's a little series of little cuts and creeks. Some of them are real small, some of them pretty good size, but you have to have a topo map or a GPS to see them when the lake's high. And just both points of all those little cuts and creeks are where those fish stage. They'll stage right there. They'll be there all winter long. There's days they'll be up on top of them in 5 or 6 foot of water, and there's days the boat will be sitting in 30, 35 foot of water, and they're all the way out suspended. But they always seem to be in that 5 to 15 foot range. Even if they're at over 35 foot, they're not down on the bottom. They're usually suspended.
Now, will they stay there at some time in the same spots?
In the summertime, they'll stay in the same types of areas, but they get out deeper. And they relate more to the bottom. Right. They're going
to
be, say, the farther down lake you go, the deeper they get. Because the water clears up, turns more into rock. They'll be more on gravel when you go down lake. But on that upper end in the summertime, usually 15 to 25 foot. But they're still going to be on those points and those flat points, but they're going to be a lot deeper than they are in the winter. Everybody thinks they go down to the bottom and hide in the winter. They don't. They're up there fairly tight to that channel to where that flat breaks off. They're either going to be right at the break, or like I said, sometimes they'll suspend. And I mean, I don't know how many times we catch the walleye. I'll have the boat in 35 foot of water, and the guy with me's, we work the bait slow. It's out the back of the boat, 7 foot deep when it gets the bite. So there are a lot of the fish just suspend, but they tend to stay suspended and close to the drop in the winter and the spring, and then in the summertime they'd relate more to the bottom.
That's one you might want to jot down. That's really an important point. And I think he made another great one, too. A lot of people, they want to target something way bigger than a lot of times what he's looking at. They want to see something big, you know, a big something coming in, a big mouth of a creek or a big mouth of a cove. Not necessarily. The places a lot of times he's talking about there are just ditches.
Yeah, there may not be much there. It's just a little bit of difference in the flat. Sometimes it's one tree, one stump. I mean, I've had Bill down there with me a few times in the past where I can almost go to a spot and I say, there's a stump right there, and we'll pull up there and that's where we get bit. We'll go in 50 more yards and not get anything. Go back to that stump again and get another bite. They really target that stuff because it's so scattered. It's not just lined with it on those flats. They're just little isolated places, and you just got to fish really slow and methodically. You just can't get in a hurry. Those walleye, they're a low-light fish. I don't know, it's different than a lot of places where you walleye fish. Go up to Canada and catch 20, 30, 40 walleye on a trip. You're not going to do that on bull shoals. I've done it before. Very few times have I done it, but it does happen. But most of the time, you've really got to work for them. You've got to fish slow, and you got to be patient. Go ahead.
Would you say that the places you're talking about in the wintertime are still the best places to go in the spring and summer?
In my opinion, they are.
Just fish deeper?
Just fish deeper. They're just, all they're going to do is they're going to drop. They're just going to drop down. They're pretty territorial. They don't just swim like a lot of people think up and down the lake. There is a good run in February and March, early March, when a lot of the fish that say that are down by the Barker hole will run up to the dam, to the pothole. And that lasts 2 or 3 weeks. There's a big flurry of fish that run up there to spawn. But in my opinion, the rest of the lake, those fish that are there, say down anywhere from Mincy up to Beaver Creek, that's where they live. They're not going to take off and go somewhere else.
Now, in the spring, a lot of times you'd have the water just be running constantly. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in the same spots. They may just move a little bit. They really like eddies,
where
the slack water is. They'll lay right along eddy, just like one of those little cuts or creeks I was talking about, where you got the water running down, and then you've got this little creek. If the water's off, they're going to be out on the outside of that creek, maybe from the point down 30 feet, 40 feet down that bank. When they get that water cranking, and the farther you go up the lake, the more you feel it. But they're going to adjust. They'll move maybe on the inside a little bit, or they'll use those stumps as eddies. Some of those stumps are as big around as a car. You know, when they're that big, they'll get in behind those stumps. They'll be on the downstream side of those stumps.
Are they using those as ambush points?
Yep.
Like a bass would?
Yep, just like a bass. They're a lot like a bass, and just in my opinion, they're a lot harder to catch. They're not quite as apt to attack a bait as a bass is. Most of the time, 90% of the time when I walleye fish, I'm throwing a stick bait. That's just what I like to do. I've always had success, and I seem to catch big fish on it. But the bite is sometimes just, they don't just take the rod out of your hand. It's just real light. And you know, a lot of times the bass will hit it and just really attack it. They just, even when the water warms up, they don't seem to hit as hard as a bass. They're just, I think they're smarter. I don't know. I think they're just smarter. Right? They're just harder to catch. Light really affects them. The best days are normally real dark days, overcast. I don't like wind. They never seem to help me to have wind. That doesn't seem to help me at all. Dark, overcast days with some current. Just really, they always has always been my best days. There's numerous techniques you can use. Some of the more popular baits are like the swimming minnow. A lot of the locals there at Forsyth use a bait called a slider. You can anchor down in some of these areas, use creek chubs and slick minnows, which work a lot better than the minnows you buy at a tackle shop. They're a lot more trouble to get them because you have to trap them, but they do work a lot better. But like I was saying, my favorite bait by far is a stick bait. I use a suspending stick bait 95% of the time. When I'm walleye fishing, I'll pick it up first thing in the morning, I'll throw it till I'm done. And I don't know, I don't go down there and kill them, but it's from January 1st to about the 1st of March, every year I can usually count on catching between 2 and 6 fish over 10 pounds. So there's a lot of big fish up there. There's some really nice ones. The biggest I've ever boated is 13 pounds, but I've had some on a lot bigger than that.
Lester, how many times did you cast that thing in an hour? It's winter
time. Oh, gosh. Well, not as much as you think because I work it pretty slow. I don't let it. You hear rumors of guys letting them sit 30 seconds. I don't do that. I cast it out as far as I can, jerk it down 5 or 6 times, and then I stop. And I always want my bait to either sit dead still or I want it to sink a little bit. If it's rising, I'll put some weight on it. I don't want my bait coming up any because if you think about it, that flat runs like this. And then when it hits that channel, it's going like that. So you're going from 5 to 25, 30 foot. Those fish are going to be between 5 and 15 foot. So you want that bait down there somewhere in that range. I don't ever fish one of them. If it's coming up, I'll weight it immediately.
Buster?
Yeah.
Not bad to give away your secrets, but, you know, they make these jerk baits, some of the small ones and some of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference for the size?
Bigger ones. I brought some baits up here with me, the ones that I use. I always use a bigger stick bait for the walleye. Not saying they can't be caught on the smaller ones, but when I'm going down there, I'm trying to key on bigger fish, and I just have confidence in the bigger stick baits. I've always used them. I started out using the Rogues years ago, and, of course, now I'm throwing the RCs and the Mega Bass, you know, because they have the weight chambers, they're a lot easier to cast. That's the main reason. They don't catch any more fish than a Rogue does, but they're just so much easier to cast. You can get them out farther. And I think a lot of the key is extending your cast. The farther you can get it out there and the quicker you can get that bait down is a big key. Throwing it from, I don't know, here to that last chair there, it's not going to work. You've got to get a good long cast. If you can't cast it out far enough with a bait caster, put it on a spinning rod.
Fluorocarbon essential to get it down?
I use nothing but 10-pound fluorocarbon. That's all I use. And that helps because it sinks. It helps the bait get down a little bit more. I used to use a lot of P-line and mono, and it does work, but the since I come out the fluorocarbon, that's about all I use is 10-pound fluorocarbon.
You ever use the deep diving?
Yes, I do, and I've got some of those in here. I've been actually using it's been so cold and nasty this year, I haven't got to go as much as I usually do, but I have been going. And with the lake being up, I've been having a lot better luck on the bait with the little bigger bill, getting it down 2 or 3 foot deeper.
You typically have to doctor them up before you get throwing them?
I'll go to the lake. I've been throwing the Mega Bass a lot, and those are pretty much ready to throw. Of course, they're $25 a piece, but they're pretty much ready to throw. I mean, I can cast them far. I don't usually ever have to tune one. They're pretty much ready to go out of the box. Like I said, if I do see one that's coming up a little bit, I'll just put a little bit of lead tape on it to where I can get it to stop or to sink a little bit. And that's about all the doctoring I do. I try to keep it as simple as I can. I've got 2 or 3, 4 different colors I use, but I really try to just keep it as simple as I can. Yep. Like I was saying, you may go fish, I don't know, 20, 30 yards and nothing. And just one little key area might hold 5 or 6 fish. They'll all be around like one stump or one eddy. There are areas. I mean, there's a lot of dead water out there. And the more you go, the more you'll figure that out. You know, you'll catch a fish in a spot one day, and then I'll go back the next day and catch another fish there. And you start figuring out there's little key areas on these flats that hold those fish, and then they stay there. Every year I go back to the same spots. It's not like they create new spots. There's something that's holding them there. Even the places where some of the places I catch them, I don't know what's there. I don't know why they're there, but they're in certain little areas, so there's evidently a stump or something. Bull Shoals has a lot of current. When we get these floods, stuff washes in, so it does change a little bit. But that there are certain areas they stay on. They're not just scattered everywhere. And like I said, on this stick bait, I throw it out. I never let it sit longer than maybe 5 to 8 seconds. That's it. I don't. You hear guys say they jerk it down and go smoke a cigarette and come back and move it. I don't do that. I never have done it. They do hit the bait when it's sitting still. Very, very seldom are you going to have one hit it when you jerk it. It's going to be sitting still. And a lot of times, you see your line move. And a lot of times you feel them, but a lot of times it's just a little slight hit. But most of the time you get them. I mean, they're eating the bait. They don't come up and mess with it. If they decide to eat it, they're going to take it. They don't play around with it or swipe at it. They usually go ahead and take it.
And when he's talking about moving that bait, guys, what he's doing is turning the head of that bait. He's not bringing that bait in. Once he's making those casts, he's turning its head. He's keeping it moving a little bit, but he's turning it head. I mean, I think his cast lasts forever, but he thinks I fish too fast. So I can go to sleep watching him do it. He just makes that bait be alive.
Yeah, I'm not doing this. I jerk it down to get it down, but after I get it down, I'm just on light line, on slack line, just popping it, pop, 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 and let it sit 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, and I'll pop, 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 let it sit. And like I said, they're always going to hit it when it's sitting still. They're not going to hit it when you're moving it. They're not real aggressive fish. They're a little bit, I don't know, they're just reluctant to hit it. And the color does matter. A lot of people think color doesn't matter. It does on a walleye, and light matters. I've got 3 or 4 colors I use. I have most of my baits painted by Tim Hughes just for that reason, because I've tried so many different colors and narrowed it down to 4 or 5 different colors that I have success with. Some days cloudy days, some baits work better than others, but I pretty much, like I said, I keep it simple, use 3 or 4 or 5 different colors of stick baits, and that's it. I don't use, most of the time, I don't ever change baits. I'll go down there in the morning and I'll throw it all day long.
And we'll get more questions on that. You know, I went with somebody. He started out with the bait. We didn't catch any. We started out with the bait. We fished that bait all day. Well, there's a reason he fished that bait all day. And Buster, I've seen him. We'll fish all day. And he might use maybe 2 baits, 2 different stick baits. And that's a big day if he uses more than one. So.
How about Bill?
No, I don't change. I'm not a changer.
He doesn't change it much
I'm
either.
Not a changer.
A lot of it's confidence. Just have confidence in what you're throwing. You got to have the right presentation. You got to know, be in the right spot. You got to know how to read the water.
That cast length is a really
cast
good
length
tip.
Really means
a really
lot.
Good tip. You need to get that thing out there. It just makes that bait do so much better.
Plus, do you find if you're fishing in current, that it's better to work the bait down to stream toward it,
well,
against the current? Does it matter if you're coming across up or down?
Well, I fish out of my boat most of the time. So I'm usually, I've got a habit. I hate fishing what I call backwards with a jerk bait. I want to jerk this way. I don't like fishing out of the, I call it the wrong side of the boat. So if my boat's like this and the head of it's up here, I'm fishing like this regardless.
You want to kind of jerk into the current instead of
kind of jerk with the current. I jerk with the current. Yeah, I'm kind of hitting cross current. And when you get to an eddy, you know, sometimes if I get to an eddy or a place where I think they're at, I may slow down, I may turn around and hit that spot a little more. I don't, you know, from, say, the pothole down to, I don't know, a couple miles below Barker Hole is where you're going to feel the most current. You get down to Beaver, you're still going to feel current, but nothing like you will upstream. And then you get down to KDOC, and if they don't have 4 generators going, a lot of times you don't feel it. I mean, you can see your bait moving a little more, but you're not really going to feel it. But I usually fish with the current. My boat's usually going with the current. A lot of those banks down there line up with it. But in my opinion, it really doesn't matter. You just got to fish it slow enough to get it down and to work it right. I don't like wind. Wind hurts me more than the current does.
Do you like fishing that area right across from KDOC there where that tree line runs down through there, right, that flat that's in there? You fish that much?
You mean just straight across from KDOC? Right. Yeah, yeah. Savage is what we call that.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a good area. And then even on down lake, you know, there's a couple of little pockets that run in there before you hit that rocky bank. That's exactly the kind of places that those fish will stay. And I'm not saying they don't get on rock. They do. There's fish on the rock, too. I've caught big walleye off a rock. But a transition, if you can find a transition where it goes from rock to mud, that's it. That's the best right there.
My wife and I, about 85% of the time, are bottom dousing with spinners. Do you ever fish like that?
I don't. except later on. I kind of transition about April. I start transitioning over to Table Rock because I get so busy over there with my guide trips. But I do fish some later on in the summer. That kind of type of stuff works better later on in the year when those fish go down to the bottom in 20 to 30 foot. That's when that type of stuff works a lot better. Your bottom bouncing. I've been down there in bass tournaments in the summer time in, say, May, June, July when those fish are moved out. And Carolina rigging centipedes for bass and catch lots of walleye. But they seem to be in that 20 to 30, 35 foot range.
But you generally don't fish fine bouncing at all. Yours is all stick baits.
Mine's all stick baits. Occasionally I'll swim a grub, you know, or I'll have somebody swim a grub. If they're struggling with the stick bait, I'll have them use like that bigger size swimming minnow.
But you're not trolling. You're not
no, eating. I don't do any trolling. I'm always working the bait. For some reason, I don't know why it is, January, February, March, the trolling just doesn't really do that good on bull shoals. Later on, it will start working a little bit later. I know you can go down lake, down to Lead Hill, Highway 125, and troll those hellbenders and some of those deep diving stick baits and crank baits and catch a lot of walleye down there later on in the summer, but it just doesn't seem to work as good in the winter months and the early spring.
Too fast, baby.
Yeah, you're moving too fast. They're just not down in that zone either. They're just not down in that zone. And it's hard to troll to keep your boat in a 5 foot to where that channel, where you hit that channel. It's hard to get up there and troll that. You've got to work it.
Very seldom when I fish with him, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but he likes to fish where the channel comes in and meets those mud flats, you know, where that deeper water, I think that is definitely
that's key. That's the whole key. And there's a few of those flats where it doesn't hit that deep water. You'll pull up there and you're on a flat, and you're still on a flat, and you're still on a flat, and there's no channel up there. What you want to look for is when you shut your boat down, you're in 25 to 35 foot of water, and you idle from here to that door, and you're in 5 foot. Yep. That's where they're going to be, and they're going to lay right where that break is, or they'll be suspended. Very seldom do I catch them up on top of it in that shallow water. Usually right on that break. And I don't really have a whole lot more to say about walleye. That's pretty much what I do. I can talk a little bit more. I've got to talk about some crappie and some white bass, but if anybody's got any questions about the walleye, go ahead and ask me.
What colors you spoke about?
Yeah, before. I'll show you some of these walleye baits I use.
Do you night fish?
A little bit. I used to do it a lot before I was real busy guiding. I used to go up towards the pothole, between the pothole and Swan Creek when they were making that run. And I fished off the shore a lot. And there are a lot of walleye caught at night. They're low-light fish. There's a lot of the big ones caught at night. But I'm a guide now, so I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning doing my guide trips, so I don't normally go at night anymore. But it does, there are a lot of them caught at night.
Were you fishing the same way at night like that?
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Exactly the same way.
Darker?
Yeah, I do. I do use one. I've got one in here that's pretty much black that I use at night, and I also use it during the day a lot, especially if the water's got some color. If it's stained up a little bit, the black works really good. But I don't use that many colors. I don't have a bunch of different ones I use. Like I said, anymore I'm using either the Mega Bass or the RC Sticks. Yeah, these are a couple of ones I use, and then I've got a few that I'm using right now since that water's high right now.
Pass those around.
Yeah.
They're hit.
I'm counting them. There are several of them that are custom painted. Yeah. But you don't have, this is a Rapala bait here. It's an X-Wrap. And I have a lot of my clients throw this because it doesn't cost $30. And I tell you what, this thing does work. It really does. This is the one that's got the bigger bill, and it really does work. I mean, the guys catch fish on it. I mean, you don't have to have those high-dollar custom baits. I've got a lot of confidence in some of them, so I take them out to Tim Hughes, and he paints them up for me.
What's he charged to paint them usually?
Oh, if you take the bait to him and the hooks are off of it, and the swivels, he'll strip it. He has to sandblast them to get the paint off. it's quite a process, but usually around $11-12 to get one painted. If you've got the hooks off of it. And
is this the tape you were talking about?
Is it what?
Is that the tape you were talking
about?
Yeah,
that's the lead. That's lead.
Yeah.
That's lead. All that is, you can buy that. That's just storm suspend God. Yeah.
I had a guy ask a question, and I don't think you do it much anymore, but there for a lot of years, you were one of the only guys that was completely taking those baits and putting a big bill in them.
Right.
And I think he was an old customer of yours or something. He wondered where he could get those ones with the big bill in them. And I think anymore, you've just switched to these mega baits.
I have. You can buy them now. I've still got, I don't know, I think one of them he passed out has got my bill in it, that black one. The black and silver one. I still got use a lot of baits that I've cut and put my own bills in. You can't do it on a mega bass; they're all one piece. But the rogues, these old rogues, you know, you can pull those bills out and cut another bill and stick it in there, and I could get 3 or 4 extra foot. But now you can buy them like that. You know, you can. I never had as much luck with those like spoonbill rebels and stuff that they've made forever. There's guys that have caught them on them. I just never had luck. I had better luck just taking a rogue and putting my own bill in it and just making it a little bit bigger and then weighting it. The spoonbills, those big spoonbills that they make that used to be pretty popular, they don't have the action that these do. They just don't. They're just pretty much a straight. They just do that. They don't have that. They don't wobble around like these do.
Show them what a swimming minnow. Did you bring some swimming minnows?
Yeah.
And he uses a swimming minnow a lot, especially when the whites start moving it. But I've seen him catch 100 walleye on.
I brought two sizes. I usually use this bigger one. When I'm walleye fishing, I use this one more for white bass. They're just a grub.
What size tank do you normally put?
I usually use about an 1/8 ounce, maybe a 3/16, and I use it on 4 or 6 pound line.
How do you use fluorocarbon when you're throwing it?
I'm almost all fluorocarbon now.
Do you throw it on spinning rail?
Spinning rail.
What kind of what do you get that don't kink up?
Well, I mean, actually, it's one of the best fluorocarbons there is right now is Vanish. Because it's so subtle and light, and it may not be quite as strong as some of the other fluorocarbons, but it's really soft and low memory.
Do you ever use the, like this time of year, and then a little later on when spring comes, the white pearl slider?
I mentioned that earlier. That's a very popular bait. Those locals around Forsyth and Kissy Mills, and that's where I live. That is very popular bait. It's an easy bait to fish.
Little redhead.
Yep. And I do occasionally. My boy uses them a lot. He likes.
I like them for white bass.
Yeah. They're probably become one of the most popular white bass baits. Is those sliders. You can go into the old tackle shop up there in Forsyth. He'll have a whole wall full of them.
Exactly.
Yep. And I do use the different colors of heads. You know, I'll get red and chartreuse and white. I switch up on the head colors.
It's got to depend on the water.
Yeah, depending on how dirty the water is, or you know, just.
You ever tried a walleye fish table rock?
No, but I catch some over there. I don't. Other than Bill fishes up there more than me, up in that Kings and the White. I think there's a little bit. Better population of walleye up in those two rivers, but the last 7 or 8 years on our guide trips over there around the dam, we're catching more every year. There's more every year. I'll catch a few more than I have the year before, but there's really not the numbers to where I would feel confident going out there and trying to catch them.
Do you go to Stockton in any?
No, I used to fish here a little bit in tournaments. I haven't been there quite a while. I live. Yeah. 10 minutes from Bull Shoals, so I fish there most of the time.
I bet it doesn't live down there. He's right up above.
I think you can probably catch more walleye in Stockton than you can Bull Shoals, but they don't have the size.
No, they don't.
Your odds of catching that 10, 11, 12 pounder aren't as good there as they are as it is in Bull Shoals.
Small mouth, that's what he's talking about that night.
Right.
Anybody else got any walleye stuff? We got quite a few different species we're going to throw at him here in a minute.
Go ahead.
You ever venture into using jigging wraps or spoons at all on that upper end?
Into what now?
Jigging wraps or just spoons at all?
No. Honestly, I don't. That's probably something that is going to work better in the summer when they're more relating to that bottom rather than being suspended on those drops. It's going to be kind of hard to fish a spoon in the areas that I fish for the walleye. It just, I know you can catch them in the summer on it, and later on, or late spring, when those fish are 25, 30 foot down on the bottom.
And that's how we catch them up the White River. The most fish that walleye I catch up there, I'm catching on a spoon.
That's the night crawler.
I've never had that much luck on.
I don't catch as many on the night
crawler
as on the spoon.
I really don't. And I've went up to the pothole and tried it several times, like a little jig and a night crawler, your typical walleye, and the trout get to it before I can get a bite. I mean, there's a lot of rainbows up there at that pothole.
What about trolling crankbaits?
There's guys that do it, but that, like I was saying, that's going to be better later on in the summertime. Not in that December, January, February, March. That's when these fish get done spawning, and they start dropping down and get out on these points. And they do it a lot down around Highway 125 and Lead Hill down in there, and they have a lot of success. It's not quite as good up on this upper end as it is down there as far as trolling with those deep diving crankbaits. Anything else? And I'll move on a little, go to something else. Won't spend quite as much time on these as I did the walleye, but we'll talk a little bit about the crappie. Bull Shoals probably doesn't have the numbers of crappie in it that, say, Stockton, Norfolk, Table Rock does. But as far as size goes, they can't compete with the crappie that we've got in Bull Shoals. The size is just, it's amazing. I've been down there a couple times here in the last 2 weeks, a few of the days when I could actually get down there and not freeze. And I can catch, if I fish just 2 or 3, 4 hours in the morning, I can catch between 5 and 10, but they're all like that. They're not anything you'd have to measure. It's always been like that, and I don't really know why. There's not the numbers of crappie and bull shoals there is in some of these other lakes, but they are a lot bigger. There's not near the cover in that lake as there is in a lot of these other lakes. A lot of the trees, there's not a lot of pole timber, a lot of cedars. So when you find some of the cover on that lake that have the crappie on it, a lot of times there's several of them there. All it takes down there is a pole, just one tree sticking up, an old stand-up you see running down the lake, and you'll see a stub sticking out of the water out there in the middle of the lake. There's going to be crappie on it. They're not real hard to find on that lake, because if you can just find cover, they're going to be around it.
Notice some of those are big crappies, which are stick bait.
That's how I found a lot of them. That's how I found a lot of my crappie holes is stick bait fishing. And they'll be on the same areas those walleye are. Same old mud flats or a transition or something. They'll be in the same place. And they're, like I said, they're big. They're really big. And
he sent me these last week.
So down there they don't put cedars.
Some people do. There's not as much stuff that the conservation department's putting in, but they're...
Am I missing an orange stick bait somewhere?
Yeah, missing a couple of them.
Oh, yeah.
Then raising the lake 5 feet, like to spread the fish out in the new cover, you think?
Is it going to what now?
Will it spread the fish out?
I don't think that 5 feet's going to make that huge of a difference, because it's never right anyway. I mean, how often is a lake not high anyway?
It's usually flooded.
Yeah, it's a holding lake. They're not worrying about bull shoals. They're worrying about the other stuff and the farmlands down below. So I don't think it's going to affect it that much. The lake's been high all winter, and if it wasn't for the cold and the wind this winter, honestly, I think I could have caught as many walleye as I normally do, because the few days I've got down there, I've caught fish.
Is everything open down there?
Yep. Now, Forsyth was closed 3 weeks ago, but I went by there about a week and a half ago. It was open.
Still open.
Is it still open? Okay, yeah, it was closed, but last time I went by there, it was open.
Do the white bass and the crappie spawn at about the same time?
Pretty close, yeah. You're looking, depending on the weather, the winter, how hard the winter, it's going to be late this year. Yeah. It is definitely, it's all going to be late this year. Other than probably the walleye, I think they'll probably do it the same time they always do, because they like that cold water anyway, but it's going to be... It might be a lot more of that April stuff this year than there usually is. Usually in March it really gets going, but it might be April this year.
When you run the, are you parallel in the bank?
No.
Or, okay.
Nope, I'm keeping the boat out.
Okay.
I want to make as long of a cast as I can and hit the shallow water. But I don't want to throw way up on the flat. I'm throwing as far as I can, and I want to get it over past where that channel hits that flat. And by the time I want to be able to get that bait down, and it doesn't bother me a bit if I jerk it down there and I start digging mud. If I hit that mud, I just start cranking it real slow, dredging through that mud until I quit feeling it. And a lot of times when I quit feeling it, I'll make it a couple of twitches, and that's when I get my bite.
How deep can you get those baits?
They vary. Depends on how much weight you put on them. Probably average depth on the ones without the big bill, you're looking at 4 or 5 foot. The mega bass that have the big bill, especially if you put a little piece of lead on there and you work it slow, you can get that bait down eight or nine feet.
Hard to get off those walleye.
They're my favorite.
Yeah, usually used to be years ago, I'd go work the Kansas City Boat Show, and as soon as I was up there, my phone would start going. He'd be sending me stuff, walleye pictures. What are you doing up there? Get down here and catch some fish.
Well, and on them crappie, it's, you know, most of you guys know this, but the live minnows, you can fish with the live minnows. You can fish with swimming minnows, like I was showing you, the small grubs, tubes. My go-to bait on the crappie is a bait that's only been out a few years. It's called a crappie magnet. A lot of you trout fishermen probably know what a trout magnet is. It's just a bigger version of that crappie magnet. I got on that a couple years ago, and that's about all I throw anymore. If I can't catch them on that crappie magnet, I'm not going to catch them.
What's that look like?
Yeah, I brought some of those too.
That's a company out of Arkansas. Is it Leland
Lures? Leland Lures. Leland Lures. I'll pass a few of these. I just pass these bag around. You can just look at them. They're in the bags. I don't know. They almost look. They look like a little beetle spin. The tail off of little beetle spins. And I don't really know why they work so good, but that's about all I use anymore for crappie. And one thing I do on bull shoals and even on table rock when I'm crappie fishing, I use a little weed guard that is made by Bass Pro. I don't know what it's called, but it's just a little weed guard, and it's got a hole in it that you stick your hook through. And this is critical to me on these crappie because you've got to get in that brush a lot of times to catch it. You can't just come down the side of it. You've actually got to get in it. And I usually wet it a little bit, and then you just slide this little weed guard up on the head.
Are you using the trout magnet heads, or are you using your own little jig heads?
I'm actually using the crappie magnet heads.
I mean the crappie magnet.
Yeah, I get I love them. They got that double barb on there. They don't slip.
Holds the grub.
Yeah, holds it up there.
And so often we get down there, water, you know, in April, crystal clear. Are you?
This is what I use most of the time.
You're using natural colored clear water. This
little colored clear water. A little pearl essence. Lighter colors, and even right now I'm using those because that, you know, even with all this snow, that water on that upper end is still fairly clear because they're running through so fast. But you can slide that little head on there.
You just flip it and swim it.
Yeah, I'll let it sink down until I hit that brush, and then I just stop and let it drop down over those branches and just try to pull it through. And I can't do it without this weed guard. And you're still going to get hung up some of this weed guard, but it really helps.
You said you get those Bass Pros, got them?
Bass Pro has them now, but they didn't have them seen this year. Yeah, they got a bunch of them in Branson.
Are they different sizes?
I use 8 ounce.
Let me see that.
Yeah, and after you get that bait on there like I did there, you can take this weed guard and you just stick it over your hook. I usually poke it in there 5 or 6 times to loosen it up because that weed guard's going to pop through there when you set the hook. And see, that thing will slide through those trees like that. You don't get hung up.
What size do you say that was?
I use 8 ounce. 8 ounce, and I fish it on 4 pound line. A lot of guys like to use 6. I use 4. That's just what I like. I've got a better feel with a 4 pound line. And I don't mind breaking one off every now and then. I've always got 7 or 8 tied up ready to go. If I actually get hung up, break it up, I'll just tie another one on real quick. I like 4 pound line. It just feels better to me. I don't know what those weed guards are called. They're made by Bass Pro. They're over there with the little jig heads. They make like four sizes. That's the medium size one there.
What kind of Bass Pro float?
Nine, I think. They're the only company I've found that makes those. I can't find them anywhere else. I've looked online, and I can't find them anywhere else. They're the only ones that make them. And I have a hard time finding. Branson got some in last week, and I bought some. But sometimes they're hard to find. But I'm sure the Springfield stores, they carry a lot more than what they do in Branson, so they probably got them. They make a ton of the colors on these, too. If you go online at Leland's Lures and look at them, they have got a lot of different stuff. They've got a lot of stick baits, and I'm going to show you a few of those here in a minute they make, too, that I use for white bass. They make a lot of stuff, not just trout stuff. They've got a lot of other stuff.
Buster, I know over on Table Rock a lot of times you'll fish that with a trout float or something when those crappie move in. Have you ever fished that float over on Bull Shoals, anything like that?
I have in April, when the late March and April, when the fish are actually moving really up to spawn and they get shallow, you know, where they're getting in that, say, 4 to 8 foot zone, and you can actually pull up to a broken tree that's laying over on the bank. I'll take a little, actually what I was using last year, I was using like a 32nd ounce head, the same type of head, like the trout magnet head, the little gold heads, and I was using the trout magnets instead of the crappie magnets, and I put them under a little float like you do for trout, and you toss it up around that shallow cover. That works really good when those crappie are getting up in that real shallow water. I use these more in December, January, February, March when they're still out a little bit deeper. When they get up on the bank, I'll use a little trout magnet or, you know, little tube, stuff like that. Any more crappie questions?
How deep are you catching the crappie this time?
Right now I'm catching them. The boat's in 20, 25 foot. They're out in the channel. And the brush, some of the brush will be that high off of the bottom. You know, just depends on where the brush is. But they're down pretty deep right now. They're still in that 18 to 20, 25 foot.
Will they stay there at some time in that section of the lake?
Yeah, they do. What they'll do, they'll start moving in the springtime, getting up shallow when they spawn, and then they're going to just move back out to that deep cover again in the summer.
Buster, when they spawn, I know in stocking and Table Rock, they kind of hang on the outside of the little pocket spawning cover that move in.
Yep.
They got the same deal down there.
Same type of deal here, and then what they'll do, they'll move in these little coves, or the farther you get up Bull Shoals, up closer to the dam, there's not as many of these coves, so they'll actually spawn out on the main lake or in an eddy. Or they'll find a broken tree like I was talking about that's fell over in the water, and they'll just get up close to the bank. But the farther you get down lake, they do start getting in the coves a little bit more. All right, now we'll talk about, I know walleye is probably my favorite, but not too far behind. It's when these white bass start going on Bull Shoals, and that's by far my favorite lake to fish for white bass. It's pretty much, it's famous for the run up in the spring. You can go up in Beaver and Swan Creek in March and April and see boats as far as you can see, and it's been like that as long as I've lived here. You go to Beaver Creek right now and see three boats go there in another 6 or 8 weeks, and there might be 100. Yeah, it's amazing how many people just fish 3 weeks out of the year, and that's the only time they fish. They fish when these whites are going.
Up the last all year.
Yeah, and it's just, and I've never fished a lake, and I grew up in Oklahoma, caught white bass when I was a kid. I've caught them in Texas. I've caught them everywhere I've been. I've never caught white bass with the size that we've got in Bull Shoals, and the size and numbers both. You go to Grand Lake and catch 100 a day, but they're that big. It's just, it amazes me every time I go. Me and him went, I don't know how many times last year. It's just, they're so big, they just
look 2.5, 3 pounders.
2.5, 3 pounders, they look like hybrids.
Right, just all day long.
Yep. Beaver and Swan are probably the most popular, but every creek from the pothole down to K-Dock, every creek cove is going to have them in it whenever they're going to, when they make their run, they go in every one of them. It doesn't matter where you're at. For some reason, Beaver is probably the most popular, but all of them have them. I'll spend I'll go to Kadok and fish just to get away from it. Just, I'll go down there and hit some of those flats and cedar and some of those coves down there just to get away from it. Like I was saying before, you can use, it's just like the walleye and crappie. You can, there's several ways to catch them. The swimming minnows, very popular. The sliders have become about as popular as anything. But my favorite, just like on the walleye, is a stick bait. You can catch them on Alabama rigs. Those have become real popular, catching them. Guys catching them on Alabama rigs. Those white bass, you catch two at a time. But I throw a stick bait more than anything. That's what I like to do. I take my clients down there with me, and we'll catch just lots of them. Yeah, I use pretty much two stick baits. I used to use Rapalas, the blueback Rapala, but now they've come out with the miniature versions of the suspenders that I use for the walleye. I use the RC stick, and I use the one that Leland's makes, that makes the trout magnets. They make one too, and it works really great. It's got the weight chamber in it, and you can I throw them on 6-pound line.
You like the blue and silver, the blue back?
Blue back, silver's good, but I'm really particular. This one right here is my favorite. That's by far my favorite. I throw it more in. It's purple on the back, chartreuse on the belly, and it's got clear sides. That's my favorite of all of them. And then I throw this pearl color one a lot. These are both RC sticks. And the thing about them, they're just like the native bass, but they don't cost $30.
Right.
And I throw them on 6-pound line. I work them different than I do when I'm walleye fishing. I'm throwing them on a spinning rod. I still try to make as long of a cast as I can, but I don't pause them like I do for the walleye. I'm doing this the whole time. I'm shaking them. Just shake, 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 shake. I'm not constantly reeling, but it seems like on those whites, sometimes you've got to get them aggravated. And if you can get that right rhythm down, you can catch them just every cast. I'm sure everybody that's done this, been up there in the spring, has seen 25 boats in a cove, and you see one guy in one boat that's catching fish, and he's catching them every single cast. I mean, I don't know how many. I've been on the wrong end of it many times and left on my guide trips, See this one guy catching, doing something just a little bit different that's working. But I know for a fact on that stick bait that when those whites are running, it doesn't pay to let that sit.
We were down there last year during the light bass where you could just walk across Beaver Creek on the boat, And we thought, man, we're going to get out of this. So we kind of got up on the bank and around some trees. And we probably had a complete limit of crappie that were 1.5 to 2 pounds a piece in, 30 minutes?
Well, that was a better deal anyway.
That's better than the whites. They're a lot better to eat. Yeah.
They were really smaller in the middle of the house.
Males, it was that first run when the males were running.
Crazy. I'm not going to lie, that's fish now.
Yeah. I like fishing for anything, but I do love it on those whites. It's handy for me. I can be down there in 15 minutes, drop the boat in, take my boy or Bill or somebody, and more times than not, you're going to catch a bunch of them. You don't have very many bad trips. And it's great for guiding whenever they're doing that. It's just an easy day.
I had one of our write-in questions, and I know a lot of this won't be very popular with a lot of people, but you touched on it there a minute ago. The Alabama rig has really gotten popular for white bass.
Very popular for white bass.
And the question was, what baits do you like on your Alabama rig for white bass? Are you using the same baits that you'd fish bull shoals for bass with that you're using?
I don't. I guess everybody's different on it. They make a swimming minnow that has a paddle tail. It's got the little knobby tail, and it's the swimming minnow, just like, the one I passed around, but it's got a knobby tail on it. That's what I use. If I'm going to throw an Alabama rig for white bass, that's what I've had the best luck with.
Do you go to the smaller size Alabama rig, or do you stay with the...
I've stayed with the normal size one, yeah.
Do you use the one with the spinners?
I have. There's some days I've seemed like the spinners have worked a little better, and there's some days they haven't. I just never have really figured out why, though. I mean, and that's the same deal, too, just like last spring. There was a couple times I was up in Beaver guiding, and over half the people up there were throwing an Alabama rig. I'm sticking with my stick bait regardless. That's what I like to do. It's more fun to me, but I can watch all these boats, and it's the same deal. You'll see one or two guys up there just dropping them in the live well, and everybody else is just watching them. So they've either tinkered with their baits or they've got a different retrieve. Something's going on, but I've never figured out why one day they'll hit one that's got spinners on it better and one day they won't. I don't really have an answer for that.
You use the fluorocarbon on your spinning rigs also?
Yes, I do.
What brand do you use it?
Well, especially on my spinning rods, I'm using Vanish. Especially on the spinning rods. Now, on my bait casters, it's not as critical. I'll use the Bass Pro brand a lot. Seeger's really good, but on the spinning rods, I like Vanish because it's so just light and subtle, and I don't have the kinks and the memory with it like I do a lot of the other ones. I don't think it's quite as strong as some of the others, but it's a lot easier to fish with.
You know, I know last year when we were guiding and fishing quite a bit over there, when you were throwing that little RC, and a lot of us were throwing an Alabama rig, it seemed like you still kept the walleye in play a lot better than we did by fishing that little RC, because how many walleye did you catch on that thing?
Yeah, that's something good, too, he brought up. Like, after these walleye are done, I mean, they're not done eating, they're just done spawning. But we switch over a lot as a guide, or I do, to the white bass because they're so much easier to catch, and the people get, but we still catch walleye. And I'm not fishing for them, I'm throwing the little smaller stick bait, but you don't catch, I haven't caught very many walleye on that Alabama rig, and I don't know why. I caught a few every now and then, but I haven't caught very many. They just seem to like the stick baits better.
I don't think we catch quite as big of ones either later on that little RC, do we?
No.
But we still do catch,
catch some.
Multiple species you can catch, and it seems like if you pick up that Alabama rig, you're going to catch whites or...
Right, and that's the great thing about bull shells. I mentioned it earlier. You can go down there and go fishing. You don't have to just go down there and fish for one thing. Go down there and go fishing, and you don't know what you're going to catch. I mean, I've got into the yellow perch. You know, I mean, I've never caught a ton of them, but I've caught as many as 7 or 8 in one trip. So, I mean, you don't know what you're going to catch. The biggest brown trout I've ever caught have been out of bull shoals on a stick bait. Most of them up at the pothole. What's that?
Are the yellow perch good?
Oh, they're just like a baby walleye. Yeah. Yeah, they're very good. About the only fish I eat are crappie and walleye, and if I catch a yellow perch. And that's about all I've got, unless anybody's got any more questions. You're welcome to ask me. I don't really have a whole lot else to tell you. I pretty much told you all I know, which isn't a lot, but that's all I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's about all, other than the trout guiding, which I do a lot of that, but in the wintertime from, say, 1st of December to about the end of March, I'm primarily on bull shoals. And it's actually my favorite lake. It's not actually the easiest lake to fish, but it's my favorite lake. I just like it because it's quiet and it's not beat to death, and there's a wide variety of fish that can be caught down there, and I just love to always have the chance to catch that giant walleye.
Do you have a website?
Oh, not really. I got a good Facebook account. You can go to Lily's. I'm on their website. I've got busy. I've done this for so long, I just never have really built a website. I'm going to do the same amount of trips every year, regardless of whether I have one or not. Yeah.
You talked about the power pole changing and all that. Mm-hmm. Touch on that. My worst year was 08 when it was 41 foot high.
That's the worst thing that can happen. That's the worst thing.
If a guy wants to go try and fish like we tried to do, are you fishing where the fish should be? If it wasn't 41 foot high, are you? I mean, I had a guy tell me his best year was 08.
Table rock. We're on table rock when it was like that, and it was great because those fish just went swoosh up into the shallow water.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome. The bass fishing was unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, we moved with the water. When the other guy that said that was his best year, he said he was fishing deep where the fish would have been.
And that's not unusual, especially on bull, to find the old bank line.
Yeah.
Find the old bank line. But on Table Rock, when that happened in 08, those fish didn't stay out there. They went and went right. I mean, we were fishing and catching fish off of park benches and.
Yeah, we was making jokes. The deer hunters were going to wonder why there were spinner baits right
there. Yeah. No, that was a lot of fun. I wasn't on bull shoals much then when it got that high. The thing about bull shoals, when all that happened, it got pretty nasty and trashy and a lot of logs and stuff down there. It's it was kind of hard to do anything.
He won that highway patrol tournament with a picnic table bite.
Yeah, stumbled onto a picnic table bite, and every one of those smallmouth fish. We had some big smallmouth. They were spawning around those picnic tables. If you could see one of those lantern holders, we'd go up there and flip up next to it, and we'd catch a big smallmouth. No, on Table Rock when we had that flood.
Buster, I've got a bass question for you here that was sent in for us. This gentleman's going to move down to Theodosia, and he's got a couple of questions here. What's your favorite method to target big smallmouth down in that lower end? And how do you like that, just on most times at Theodosia? Theodosia's kind of a middle part.
Theodosia's the only other thing we've got that's you could consider even close to a river other than the upper end. Mm-hmm. The rest of that Bull Shoals is like Table Rock or Norfolk or Beaver. Other than Theodosia and that K-Dock up, that's more of a river system, and that's how Theodosia is. It's a small river.
How do you fish those smallmouth on there?
Gravel. Gravel flats, points. My go-to baits, is the same as it's been for many years, is a tube. I use a green pumpkin tube on a jig head, quarter-ounce jig head on 6 and 8 pound line on a spinning rod. Don't matter what lake I'm on, whether it's Norfolk, Beaver, Stockton, Table Rock, if I'm smallmouth fishing, any time from, say, the middle of March to end of June, I'm throwing a tube.
How do you feel like that area of Bull Shoals, how's Bull Shoals just, as a bass lake, this was obviously a bass fisherman, how does it compare with Table Rock as a bass lake?
Very similar. The only difference in Bull Shoals and Table Rock is Bull Shoals does not have all the standing timber that Table Rock has. But as far as the smallmouth and the spotted and the largemouth bass, in my opinion, is the numbers of fish are very similar to what we have in Table Rock. They just don't get quite as much pressure.
They live in about the same places.
Same types of areas, and that's the same as if you go to Norfolk or Beaver. It's the same way when I go down there. When I used to fish a lot of tournaments, I do the same thing I do on Table Rock and Bull Shoals. All the White River chains fish very similar.
What about striper? Do any striper fishing?
Well, they just dumped a bunch of them in Bull Shoals.
We're going to see.
I may have to. I've caught some big stripers. I've been striper fishing a few times, in the years back, not actually keying on them here, but that down at Norfolk and Beaver, I went down there and fished for them. I went twice this last fall whenever they were had the run up by Forsyth. My neighbor come home one day and had one that was 52 pounds. It was the first time he'd ever been striper fishing, so I thought I'd better go down there and try it. And I fished for I fished 3 hours one day and 3 or 4 the next day, and I never caught any. But he caught that big one, and there is a little, those ones that are catching up there are old. They've been in there for a long time. And they're throwing the great big swim baits for them. But they did here recently. I don't remember when was that. Several months ago, they dumped a bunch of striper in Bull Shoals, and they dumped them in on the Missouri side.
10,000.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And they're small now, but those fish grow fast. They don't take long for them to grow up. So.
You ever use a drift stop? So many times I go when it's windy, and my buddy, he's always. I just think I need to slow him down a little bit.
I've never used one. If it gets too windy for me to fish the way that I like to fish, which is out this side of the boat, I'll either turn around and fish backwards or I'll go home.
Yeah. Does work, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I've never used one. Bill may have used one. I've never used one.
I've been in the lake as a drift stop.
Yeah. Use what? The only time I use braided lines on Alabama rig. I use 60-pound braid on my Alabama rig, and that's the only time I use it. I don't like the way it fishes. I don't like it because it kinks up, especially in a bait caster when you set the hook on something and it gets buried down inside of there. There's guys that love it. I've just never been a fan. I use it on the Alabama rig and when I go to Texas on a rattle trap, and that's it.
Texas on a rattle trap.
Yeah, because it cuts through the grass. Really good on that hydrilla.
There was
one more stick bait question.
Sure.
What pound test fluorocarbon are you using? And do you tie direct or use a snap?
I use 10-pound fluorocarbon all the time on a stick bait. Unless I'm white bass fishing, I use a 6. but I use 10 pound. I always dry tie directly to the ring.
With a hoop knot or just a...
I use the old-fashioned cinch knot.
He's tying a split ring.
Yep, I'm tying to the split ring that's already on there, and I don't use a polymer knot. I use old trilene knot. And
fisherman's knot.
To me, fisherman's knot, that's as strong a knot as there is. I don't break fish off. I don't. I don't break them off. If I break them off, it's for a reason. It's something I've done wrong. I haven't checked it. I don't break fish off because of my knot.
I'm going to go back. This guy's got another one. I think he must have been from Alabama because it's another Alabama rig question. A lot of these guys, we see this great success that people are having on this Alabama rig, and then we see guys that have just basically fished them, and then just put them up. And I think a lot of times people are fishing, and I know with fishing with you, they're fishing that Alabama rig way too fast.
Way too fast. You got to fish it like you would be if you're swimming a grub. You fish it slow. You want it to be hitting something, bumping the brush. And I'll use those same little weed guards that I was showing you that I put on that crappie magnet. They make one that's about that big. I use that on all my Alabama rigs, the same weed guard. And that way you can pull it through those trees and work it slow and stop it and work it slow. A lot of the guys, unless they're white bass, or running hard, that's the only time I think you could work that thing fast and catch fish. It doesn't catch fish in the cold winter months when it's the best. Working it fast, you've got to work it slow.
I think they work them fast because they don't want to get them down and get them hung up.
Right.
Probably right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Scared they're going to lose $30.
Yeah. Exactly. Of course, now they're not as expensive as right. they were 2 years ago. So.
Yeah, come down.
You fish the pothole. If you were going to fish down there now in the winter, would you fish the pothole at night?
Yeah, starting probably, I'd wait a week or two. They're going to make their run. They haven't made it up there yet, but they're going to. Everything's a little bit behind this year, but in a week or two, that pothole all the way down to Barker Hole is going to be good.
Big black jerkbait.
Something else I didn't mention that does work up there are big tubes. I mean those big tubes.
Magnum tubes,
yeah. They are deadly up there when those fish are spawning.
You got to wear a silver jacket with duct tape on it.
Yeah. This old guy we used to see him up there. He wore the same clothes every day, and he stood on the bank, and he had this old ambassador reel on this big old boron rod, and he had electrical tape all over it, and he threw this tube. That's been 15 years ago, but he had this tube he threw about, that's where I picked up on it. It was about that long, and I never saw a guy catch that many walleyes what this guy caught. He was on the bank, and we'd leave, you know. We'd have people with us, say, we got to go, you know. he's reeling me, and he's big old beard, and it looked like he walked there from his house, and he'd walk out there dragging his stringer along, you know, he'd leave. But it does, those do work, those tubes, when they're spawning. When they're really spawning and they're doing their thing, those big tubes work good. A white one, a silver one, a chartreuse one, just a bright colored tube.
How do you fish the
tube? He put them on a jig head, that guy did, and that's how we've done it too. And you just throw it out there and let it hit the bottom and just start pumping it. Let it fall, pump it, let it fall, pump it, let it fall. There's some big rocks up there, and he did get hung up some, but he had a spot too, and it was kind of where the old boat dock used to sit there, the Shadow Rock dock. But he was down below it or up above it a little bit. But I don't know that guy really could catch him. I'm sure he's probably not around anymore. He was pretty old back then.
He got wore out catching big walleye.
Yeah, I haven't seen him for 5 or 6 years.
He wasn't participating in catch and release.
No, he wasn't. He didn't have a rule book with him. All right, anything else?
If y'all want to go fishing with Buster, did you bring the card?
Yeah.
I was going to say, call him, or you can just go through Lily's, and he can sit here and tell you how fast he's moving that bait, but you better go watch him and see how he does it. And it's always a pleasure anytime I get to go with him. And he always fusses at me because I don't fish hard enough, but I just like being out there with him and going.
He's so a four-hour fisherman.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Enjoy it.
Fish around, and you know, it's just talking here about what Buster had to say. And it's hard to relate. I thought he did a really good job, but it's hard to relate how he fishes by what he says. And it's not like it's trying to tell anybody any different, but he fishes so slow.
Well, I found the most interesting thing was that thing you contributed about just twitching, turning the head.
That's what he's turning.
Fishing it in place, almost.
Yeah, he's fishing it in place. And I'll tell you, if there's any, I don't, you heard him talk about the current a little bit. If there's any kind of current that really helps him fish it in place, because it's keeping his line tight, he's not retrieving that bait. And if he's fishing it right off of those drops, which he is, and it's amazing, down on Bull Shoals, they're everywhere, especially from K-Dock up. You can see where that channel comes into those mud flats.
We know where he fishes.
and I'll tell you something
just
else that he didn't mention as much as I would have. He mentioned the stumps and all, but I've sat for 3 or 4 hours in a spot no bigger than this room with him throwing at one spot, just throwing at those cuts, and he loves those little cuts and ditches. And we've sat there for an hour or two, and he fishes every cast. And that's another thing I should have pointed out. Buster Loving fishes every cast like it's the last cast he'll ever make in his life. That's how he fishes. And so when he puts that bait out there, he's in tune with it. Every time he turns it, he's in tune with it. When he's not turning it, he's fishing it. He's not looking over here, you know, at an eagle flying by, or he's not fishing it faster. If we've been out there 2 hours and we're not getting a bite, he's fishing it the same after 2 hours as he's fishing it on his very first cast of the day.
That's hard.
That is harder than heck. And I think it was maybe you or somebody came on there and we were talking about it. And it's just literally to the point that you can't do it. And you think everybody can do everything. Everybody, Buster's no better than me. Buster's no better than you. Well, he's not. But he has the ability to, it's almost like lower your blood pressure or your heart rate, mm-hmm. because he'll just fish it so slow.
He's just totally in that.
And zone. Yeah, and he pointed me to great points here. He made a point that when he's fishing a lot of those places, Buster never changes baits hardly. I fished with him for years and years, since '92. And he might use 2 or 3 baits in a day, and that's all he'll use. I mean, he uses those baits, and he believes in what he does. And a lot of times he doesn't know why the fish are there. And I put that, you know, you get that. That's one of our main questions. Why are we fishing here? Well, he answered that. Why is he fishing there? Do you remember what he said? Because he caught one there before. Because he caught one there. And a lot of times
he deals with the same spots.
Yeah, yeah.
Old or replenished.
Right. There's a reason he caught one. He goes back there a second time and duplicates that again. That goes on the GPS if they live there. We fish a couple of doctors out of St. Louis, Phil and I do, and no matter what you do or how you're set up, you almost have to write a dissertation on why you're doing a certain thing. And a lot of times
you can't articulate it.
There's no reason. There's no reason. You're doing it because it works. And that's what fishing is. And he has, through fishing down there since the early 90s, he's gotten it's almost like a milk run, mm-hmm. you know, of locations. And something else it's hard, I didn't want to interrupt him too much. He fishes way farther out than 99.9% of the people that fish down there. And that is a huge key, and especially when we were talking about crappie there a while ago. He fishes crappie, and if you guys will get down there and start looking on Bull, there's pole timber that sets out there, right in the main channel sometimes. Now, right now it's up, you can't see it, but from Beaver Creek down to below K-Dock, there's lots of pole timber. And he'll fish that real, real deep pole timber for those crappie. Did you see those crappie I passed around a while ago? He had, I think he showed me one picture, they had 17 that looked just like that, and he caught them all out deep, off that deep pole timber. And he might catch one off each one, you know, or he might catch 5 or 6 and just keep hitting those spots and catch stuff. But it's amazing just to see how far out in comparison to where most people are fishing. Or if you've been down there much, you'll see Tim Sonato out there in that Carol Jones boat, that red Carol Jones boat. You'll see him out a lot. And Tim, he'll fish a stick bait some, and Buster didn't hit on it as much as he does. He says 95% of the time he's fishing a jerk bait. Well, I'm going to say
probably 80% of the time, because he'll swim. He'll throw a swimming minnow a ton. He'll throw that, and that's about our general fish.
I remember when I caught that 15-pounder off snap.
Tim? Tim caught a 16-pounder off snap. We were fishing at, I think it was in 94, 95. Buster and Tim and I, all three had trips down there one day. I think they were Timmy's trips. And I had put this on the form. And we hadn't caught nothing all day, none of us. And we stopped for lunch there right off the snap. And Tim gobbled his sandwich down and caught a 12 and I think a 13 and two casts right off snap. You know,
that's great.
Nothing all day, and then all of a sudden, bang. And like I was telling these guys over here a while ago, I don't know if it's pheromones, if it's what it is, but if you catch one, who else is fishing with you better be on their toes. Because there's usually, if you catch one, you'll get another one right there, you'll miss one. You ever notice that with those walleye?
Sometimes.
It's just, yeah, it just seems like if you get one to bite, there's another one there wanting to bite it too.
They are fairly sociable.
Yeah.
Unless you're quite a bit smaller.
Yeah, unless you're quite a bit smaller. But there's a couple, and you can really see right now, it's hard to tell. And I don't know if the hot spots maps have, I don't think they have those stumps on them, do they?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
But, boy, I mean, you cannot
say stumps, but it doesn't tell you where.
Yeah. Boy, there's some big stumps down there, isn't there? Just big, especially snap area. It's full of them. As a matter of fact, if, you know, like he said, well, I don't mind getting hung up, but, man, if you throw up there very much, you're going to lose a lot of junk. You won't use your stick baits because you'll go up there and get those back, but you'll break off the swimming minnow or a jig or a grub or whatever. But those are good spots where that channel swings in on those mud flats. People will more, you'll see them fishing where the channel, like you would catch Kentuckys or largemouth on Table Rock, where the channel swings into a transition bank or a bluff, that's where we fish Table Rock. Well, that's not where we fish those walleye down there. It's just totally different. You know, it's where they swing into that mud.
Sure, fishing the walleye tournaments?
Buster's won about every one of them that ever was.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they're asleep. Yeah, and you know back when they were fishing those walleye derbies quite a bit, what they'd always, and he didn't allude to it too much, but they'll fish those stick baits and almost 99% of the time they're dragging a creek chub while they're fishing the stick
bait. Yeah, I knew that he did that a lot. Yeah. He didn't really
Timmy especially. Timmy will really drag that creek chub while he's catching, usually off the outside of the boat and just let it bounce around out there while you're...
So would you say Buster is quartering
No, he's throwing straight across current and then going down with it, just like you trout fish, straight across or coming out. And if he's bumping the boat forward a little, usually his bait's coming in from about a 45 behind. They're really good. Yep. Catches so many fish right behind the boat, it's ridiculous. It is just friggin' ridiculous. I mean, we're sitting in 35 foot of water, his bait's down there, and he was really accurate on those baits, that small bill, what'd he say, 4 to 6, and then the bigger bill, maybe 9, which is really right on. And he'll catch those fish, those walleye suspended 9 foot over 35 foot. They're not coming off the bottom. They're at 9 foot over 35. They may be at 12 foot, you know, 12 to 15 is what we think, kind of. And that's something that in the spring, and that's why the PWT had such a hard time down there when they were fishing those real early spring tournaments. Every one of those dudes was bottom bouncing or lead corn or doing something. They were fishing below those walleye. You know, those walleye were up over their baits. So.
He fished with Mick Johnson.
I was going to say, there's a lot of other stick baits. Trust me, my shoulder was all for 4 days. So.
They haven't been back in a while, have they?
No. Well, that was the FLW. Yeah. Of course, there's no FLW walleye anymore. I don't know. The way they've got it set up this year is they're doing it by state. Mm-hmm. So they got a lot of tournaments, but they're all here in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you another stick bait that really works really good down there that I've caught a lot on is that big pointer. That I think it's a 200 series pointer in rainbow. It really works good, and we've caught some huge bass on it. I remember one day Buster and I were fishing the bluff bank from the Barker hole clear down to, you know, where that breaks and transitions down there to mud? Right below the Barker hole, and that we made one pass down through there one day, and I think we had 4 or 5 bass over 5, just porkers, and I think we had 3 or 4 keeper walleye off of that, and that's a really good spot. And when you start getting up towards that dam up there, they like that rainbow looking stuff. I can't tell you how many walleye we've caught with rainbows sticking out of them. It's just amazing.
Must be an acquired taste.
Yeah. Oh, I like them. Yeah, brown trout would be good. And my biggest brown trout came down there, and his biggest brown trout came down there.
I've caught 5-pounders, but I mean, I've seen big.
Yeah. And the best day we've ever had down there, we had Buster and I had Brent Frazee from the Kansas City Star there, and we had 12 walleye that weighed 58 pounds down there.
That's a fairly good day.
It was a pretty good day. And it was sleeting, and the boat filled with sleet, and the mist coming off the dam was freezing all over us, but it was just one of those days we were happy to be alive and be down there. And that's been a long time, and I think Brent put that in his book, didn't he? Isn't that in his book, that big walleye day down there?
What's your biggest down there?
I haven't caught a big one. I think I've got one about 7 pounds.
How about Table Rock?
I've had some big ones on Table Rock. My son, one summer, had 2 over 12 on Table Rock. And I've caught some really nice ones. I've caught some 8s and 10s on Table Rock. And I spoon fish on the White River, especially in August and September up there. Those Kentuckys will get out, and the shad will get out off those long, flat gravel points up the White River. And it's very good spooning for walleye.
That's about the most fun way to fish anyway.
Yeah, because you're seeing it. You know, you're seeing them come and get it and everything. And I'm telling you, I just use one spoon. I love that Real Image Cabela's spoon. They just, that pearl color Real Image 3/8, they just love it. That's
my favorite. Fishing a 3/8 down 40 feet?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't take a second to get down there. Well, right. A couple seconds. No, I'm on a baitcaster, I'm fishing fluorocarbon. I don't fish fluorocarbon on a spinning rod like he does. I haven't had that success with it. You know, but he's different. He fishes a five foot, 5.5 foot rod for these. I wish he'd have brought his stick bait rods. He's fishing pistol grips, you know, 5, 5.5 footers. He's always fished those glass rods, and he's always fished
those. They still make those?
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. He can throw that 5 to 5.5 footer farther than you can throw a 7-6. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, if I'm in the boat, I'm usually ducking when he's throwing. I don't know if you've seen him cast or not. And that point he made about length is so freaking important. Getting that bait. And you know, all of this stuff, it's not one big thing at all. It's just a whole conglomeration of little bitty things. You know? It's all it is. Just little bitty things that you pile all together that works.